We've taken a wrong road a long time ago. People took a wrong road. We've been led down the wrong path, and we've given up our humanity. We've given up our caring about other people. And now the people who are leading us are like us. I've heard that said many times before, that we people get the kind of government that we deserve. So when the people are mean and arrogant, on drugs, criminal, stupid, ignorant, ill-informed, and only care about themselves, well, that's because that's the way the government runs us, is the same way. Mean, arrogant, and stupid, self-centered, warlike, on drugs, alcohol, etc. So we get the same kind of government that we are. We don't want a good government because a really good government would make us look bad, and it would impact us. It would keep us from doing what we want to do. If it was a really good and righteous government, it wouldn't put up with us, and we'd have to change our ways. So that's why we don't mind the government being like us. We want democracy. We want the government to reflect us. But when the government reflects like us and thinks like us, it's going to be corrupt on drugs and alcohol and fighting and lies and criminality and on corruption and all of that. Because that's what we are. We're the same way. So that's why I guess it was Gandhi who said, if you want to change the world, change yourself first. If you change yourself, then the world will change with you. If everybody changed themselves, then the world would change. And so I don't think there's any hope for the human race to change anything because we ourselves find it difficult or impossible for us to change. So as long as we don't change, the world's not going to change. We're all who we are. We do what we do as humans, and therefore the government we get is just like us. So.
Jordan, I'm a big student of human psychology, and after more than 12 years of trying to understand how we get programmed, everything is pointing out to trauma, like traumatizing human beings, especially at younger ages. It's like the basis of all our trouble, necessarily. And clearly, the educational system, the way religion is taught, it's all fabricated in a way that traumatizes human beings and programs them at a very early age to become like part of the machine and to, yeah.
Well, the big problem is programs. We've been programmed. When you turn on a radio, you're hearing information. It's called a radio program. When you turn on the television, you're learning information. It's called a TV program. So we humans are being programmed every day. We just listen to the radio, we listen to television, we listen to all the media, and we are being programmed. And we're being programmed how to think and what to think and how to see things and how to look at everybody else. So we're being told how to live. And we're just ignorant humans. We have no control over anything. And the people who run the world believe that they own us and that we are their property and that they treat us like animals, like on a farm. And so that's what they look at us, like farm animals. So they keep us eating. They have to feed you. If you're going to stay alive, they have to give you food. They have to provide you with entertainment and television and entertainments and music. They have to give you a place to live. And so we do, farmers do the same thing for cows. We make sure they're fed, make sure they have water, make sure they have a place to sleep, and make sure that they are, that they have what they need. Why? Because we want them to grow. So they get bigger and bigger, and then when they grow, then we can sell them for money. And then they don't have to work for us anymore. They can work for McDonald's, and they can work for the hamburgers. And so that's what's happening, is that we have been misled into following our governments and our religions and our teachers and our schools. We've been misled to follow. And I don't like following anybody. I want to do my own thinking.
Right.
And so I was born and raised a Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I understood when I was very young, Catholicism makes no sense to me at all. The church makes no sense. It's all politics and government. And you have to pay money, and you have to give them and take care of them.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do anything. They're clergy. They can just sit back and relax and smoke their cigarettes and watch TV, and they don't have to do anything. You pay them. You're the one that brings the money.
Right.
So I learned that a long time ago. That's why I don't have any respect for religions. I do have a high respect for spirituality, but not religion. There's a big difference between the spiritualism and religion. Religion is government. That's all it is. It's just banking. It's a corporation.
Yeah.
That's why churches are in denominations. If you're a Christian, they ask you, what denomination? They ask me, what denomination are you? I say, $50 or $20. I'm a $20 denomination.
Yeah.
So religion and government are just ways to control the human family. And people don't mind it. Most people don't mind. They accept it.
Yeah.
That they're in control. The government's in control.
Effectively, to program and traumatize people at an early age, to steal that creative spark from human beings, the way it's naturally present. Yeah.
But when you were born, the government did not cause you to be born. The government didn't give you your life. The universe, the way it's set up, the way the universe is set up, you have a mother and father. You have you. That's the way you came into the world. Who knows? Out there is God, and there are two humans who come together and created you.
Right.
So where did you come from? Well, you came from God. You came from the universe. And you didn't come from your government. You didn't come from your city and your city council and your religious leaders. They're just politicians. Religious leaders are just trying to control you and direct you. They tell you how to view things. They tell you how to live. They tell you what the truth is.
Yeah.
And all the time they're telling you, they're not doing nothing. They're just sitting back and drinking their drinks, drinking their alcohol and on their drugs, and living high because you don't want to have to work and give them money.
Right.
I learned a long time ago, and I want nothing to do with that. I want to do my own thinking. And when you do your own thinking nowadays, you are an enemy of the government. You're an enemy of the people. Because the people have been told, anybody who doesn't go along with the government is an enemy. No, anybody that goes along with the government is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, so all my life I've just tried to educate people to wake up and do your own thinking and understand how government works, understand how the banks work, understand what the law is and who makes the laws and who enforces the laws.
Right.
And once you understand all that, and you think, the whole thing is a bunch of bull crap. A bunch of crap. Government, religion, banking, military, commerce, all of it is nothing more than just business. It's just a way to make money and control people. And I know that. So that's why I gave up when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I gave up and I decided that I'm going to study how the world really works. And then when I did, the more I learned, the more I understand, the more I'm now talking to the world. Yeah. And people are now waking up. I woke up a long time ago, but now people have started to wake up. Mm-hmm. And now they see the corruption everywhere. No matter where you look, it's all stupidity and corruption.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's true. We get the kind of government we deserve. And as stupid as the human family is, we don't deserve a highly intelligent government. We wouldn't live very long under an intelligent government.
Mm-hmm.
That's very honest and decent and honest and intelligent. We wouldn't want to have that, because then really, then we're going to have to change if we're going to live under a really good government. We're going to have to change. Mm. And we don't want to change.
Yeah. I guess, that sums it all. It is our fault in the end. We're waking up. Manly Hall said, turn off your TVs. We're being controlled
That's
by
right.
it. Yeah, but still said it's our fault because we are not doing our work. We're just following.
And television was, there's a book, if you're interested in television, there's a book you need to have. It's called Four Arguments. Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television.
Mm-hmm.
Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. It's on my website. Mm-hmm. If you go on Jordan Maxwell Show website, that's my website,
You
will see a button that says Recommended Materials.
Beautiful.
Recommended Books. Click on that and then you will see the book called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. The guy's name was Jerry Mander.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Mander.
Yeah.
He wrote a book, Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. And you can get it on my website. Go on my website and click on it. It takes you to Amazon and you can order it.
Yeah.
It explains how television was designed. It tells you the truth about what television really is and how it was designed.
Beautiful.
And, yeah, television set as a gun. They call it a gun. And the behind the TV, in the picture tube, at the other end, the back end of a picture tube is a gun. And it fires the electrical frequency into the screen.
Right.
And when it fires the electrical frequency into the screen, it hits the screen and breaks it up. And now you can see a picture. And it's firing it continually. And the picture is changing continually.
Right.
But what you don't know is that when the electricity is being fired into the screen, there's something called a carrier frequency.
Okay.
There's another one on top of it. There's two frequencies. One is for the picture and sound, and the other is to put you to sleep. It's called Earth Resonant Frequency. Earth Resonant Frequency is the electrical frequency in a mother's body. When she gives birth to a baby, her body is electrical. And that's why when the baby is crying, the mother picks the baby up and holds it, and the baby goes to sleep. Why? Because it's an electrical frequency, and the baby feels the electrical force field, and it puts it to sleep.
Wow.
And so that's why it's called Earth Resonant Frequency. It's a frequency of electricity that puts your mind to sleep. That's why older people, when they're sitting watching TV, they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's what's happening. They fall asleep watching TV. because it's an earth resonant frequency. It's being fired into your mind to put you to sleep. And that's, and the reason why is because earth resonant frequency is an electrical frequency the earth is giving off. The earth is giving off a frequency. That's why you have to walk in the grass with your shoes off. If you walk in the grass with your shoes and your socks off, you are receiving electrical frequency from the earth, and it's very relaxing. You feel very relaxed when you're walking in the grass and it's warm out. You sit under a tree and you can go to sleep because it's putting you to sleep. Why? Because the earth is vibrating a frequency.
Right.
And so it's just called earth resonant frequency. And the mother, it's the same frequency in the female body. That after she's had a baby, her body is electrical and the baby feels it.
Yeah.
So therefore, the firing and that television is firing earth resonant frequency into your brain, and it's firing a picture. But the earth resonant frequency being fired into your brain puts your mind to sleep purposely. It was designed that way, to put your mind to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You still have your eyes open, you're still listening, but you're just listening. You're just like you're just like a zombie. You're just sitting there just listening and recording it, and you're taking it all in, and you don't even realize you're just sound asleep. You just sound asleep. You're not thinking about nothing. You're not questioning nothing.
Yeah.
You're not questioning nothing. You just sit there and just listen. And so that's why we are being misled purposely, scientifically. We're being misled technologically with earth resonant frequency. And that's why television was developed by the Germans, the Nazis, during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Right after.
You always said follow the money. You always said follow the money when it comes to determining and seeing who's ruling and who's
the money.
Yeah.
They want to control the people. So they give them a way to program them with visual program. They can see a picture and listen. So people can be programmed because they have to see and listen to be programmed.
Yeah.
That's the way we learn, is seeing and hearing. So they give you a picture and it's called television. Television. Right.
Yeah.
And so as you are watching the program, you're being programmed. Also, there's an electrical frequency that's putting your mind to sleep. So you just sit there like a fool. You just sit there stupid and just listening and watching the movie. Yeah. And you're not thinking about it. You don't question nothing. You don't know nothing. And you sit there for hours just listening to television, and they're telling you what to think and how to think and who to vote for and how to understand. I'd much rather sit in a library and read on my own by myself and do my own thinking and do my own research and find out what's really going on, mm-hmm. rather than being told on a television.
Yeah.
It's really too bad the way the human family is being used. You know, they call us chattel. Humans are referred to in government as chattel. C-H-A-T-T-L-E.
Okay.
Chattel.
Okay.
It's like the word cattle. Okay. Cattle are cows and you know, cows that we're going to use to eat, they're yeah. cattle.
Yeah.
But humans are called chattel. So if you look it up in the dictionary, chattel, C-H-A-T-T-L-E, it will say human animals.
Wow.
Yeah, human animals.
Which is essentially so what why, you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. So you're just an animal. That's all. They just feed you and give you something, entertainment, and give you music, and give you alcohol and drugs and feed you. And then they send you off to war. You can go off to war. You can go off and join a religion. You can go off and go do whatever you want. Just get out of here because you're worthless. You're just an animal.
Yeah.
And that's why you have a Social Security card. You have a government card with a number on it. Just like cows do. You know, you got an identification for each cow has its own number. So you got to know how many cows do you have, how much are they going to make money for you, and what's their number.
So when you
understand that you as a human being are just a chattel.
Yeah.
You're just a human animal.
Property, working property.
And something else is important. In America and in England, they have something called a Stiles book. A Stiles book.
Okay.
Like you dress in a particular style. Well, the book is called Stiles Magazine or Stiles Book. What the Stiles Book is, it's published by the United States Printing Office or the British Printing Office. This is nothing. This is only in America and England do they have Stiles Book.
Okay.
And what the Stiles Book is the words that are used by humans, governments, the words which is used by government. So that the words that you and I use is one thing. The same words what government uses means something totally different. So you need to understand that there's words that the government uses.
Yeah.
And you have to know when you go into court, you better not talk. You better keep your mouth shut and let a lawyer talk for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the words you use don't mean the same thing in a court. You know, if somebody asks you something and if you're talking to somebody on the street and they ask you a question and you answer them, if you said the same thing identical in a courtroom, you could go to jail because you said something that was self-incriminating. You said something which makes it that you are a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of what you said. Well, I just said the same thing out here now, but it don't mean the same thing out there. It means different in a courtroom. That's why you have to have a lawyer. He's called your mouthpiece.
Yeah.
He speaks for you. And the reason why is because if you don't know what to say in a courtroom, you need to shut up and let the lawyer speak for you.
Yeah.
And because of that, you will find that, according to the Stiles magazine, you are not a man. And if your wife is not a woman, you are not a man. By law, you are not a man. By law, you're an animal. You're a chattel.
Wow.
Only a man. A man, if you were a man, when you were born, you would be called masculine. If you were a child, you were a masculine child. Means you are a male child. You are a man. Masculine. A woman that was born, she is feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So she's feminine and you're masculine. But an animal is not feminine or masculine. An animal is an animal. So you call them, the animals, you call them male and female. All animals, by law, are male and female.
Yeah.
Man and woman is masculine and feminine. So when you look at your identification on your driver's license, on your insurance, on your passport, or whatever it is, whatever identification you have, it will say your name, and then beneath it says male.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on the woman, it will say female, not masculine or feminine. No, male and female. Why? Because male and female is what's applied to the cattle. Cows are male and female. Dogs are male and female. Cats are male and female. Animals are male and female. They're not masculine or feminine. Men and women are masculine and feminine. But see, the point I'm making here is that by law, you are not considered to be a man. You're not masculine. Your identification says you're a male. And the Styles magazine for the government says if you're a male or female, you're cattle. You're not a man or a woman. Only important people who are wealthy, what's the word I'm looking for? Royalty. Only royalty are masculine and feminine. Prince Charles is a masculine. Why, he's not an animal. He's a prince.
Wow.
If you happen to be standing right next to Prince Charles, you are not a man. He is a man. You are an animal. He is masculine and you are male. So if you are standing next to Prince Charles and the Queen of England, and on the other side of the queen is a cow, the cow is male or female, the queen is feminine. So the animal is male or female, not feminine. You don't have a feminine cow, you have a male or female. So the point I'm making is that you are not a man at all. You are a male, you're an animal.
What's the best way to deprogram human beings? I've been a big fan of Wilhelm Reich's work for the longest, for a very long time. I've studied his work for more than 12 years.
Yeah, that's right. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But where are you? Where are you talking to me from? What country? Where are you?
I'm in Jordan, actually.
You're where?
Jordan. Amman,
oh,
Jordan.
Really?
Amman, Jordan, yeah.
Well, in America, you are not a man, you are an animal.
Yeah.
You are male and female. And so if you have identification, if you have any kind of ID, look on it and it will tell you you are male. That means you're an animal. And because of that, you don't have any rights. You don't have any rights. What kind of a right do you give animals and cows and bulls? They don't have any rights. They can't go to court and have a right.
Yeah.
So you can't go into court and say, well, I have a right. You don't have any right. You're just an animal.
Yeah.
Prince Charles, now he has a right. Because he rules by divine right.
Exactly.
You've heard that before?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Divine right. Where does that come from? What do you mean divine right? Divine means God has given you that position to
exactly.
rule.
Yeah.
It's a divine right. When you say that the royalty in your country and anywhere else in the world where royalty rule, they have a divine right. Why? Because the Pope said so. All of Europe for 2,300 years, Rome has ruled Europe.
Yeah.
Rome has ruled the world. All the world was under the Roman Empire for 2,300 years ago. The Roman Caesars of Rome. In the ancient world, they ruled all of the world.
Yeah. And when Caesar went away, they simply changed Caesar into the Pope.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Pope is still the Holy Father of Rome.
Right.
As were all the politicians, the presidents, and all the butt kissers, and all the criminals who believe that they are royalty. Right. They have to go to Rome and bow down and kiss the Pope's ring. That's what the mafia
Yeah.
The mafia does the same thing. Why? Because the Pope is the Holy Father, and he talks to God, so he's the Godfather.
Yeah.
Get it?
Thing is, they're utilizing the sacred sciences, like, for their advantage, while it is the science that should be utilized by everyone to make everything, like,
yeah,
the divine science, like.
I think it's really fantastic that you're able to sit in Jordan and I'm here in America in the States, and we can sit and talk to each other like this for free.
Yeah, yeah. There's that amazing lecture by Myron Fagan, which speaks about the formation of the United Nations. And it's an amazing lecture.
Yeah.
It's a 2.5 hours, I guess, that long.
It's incredible. The way we're being treated, the way humans are being treated. Yeah. We're like animals. And I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. All I know is that I'm very happy. I am very happy that I am 78 years old. I'll be 79. I'm close to getting 80 years old. And I'm very happy about that, because I know I'm not going to be here much longer. And that makes me happy to know I'm not going to be here much longer, because I know living on the earth is a circus. It's a horrible, tragic circus we live in. Stupidity, ignorance everywhere, police, alcohol, drugs, wars, violence, corruption. I'm just happy I'm going to be gone soon. I did the best I could for 60 years.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
I've been trying. I've been talking on radio for about 40 years. And before that, I was speaking in America at little, small bookstores and little places, nothing big, but just speaking at different little conferences and different groups would have me. And so I was speaking publicly about the world we live in. And then for the past 40 years, I've been doing radio.
Yeah.
And because of the web, I can now talk to the world.
Right.
So now instead of just talking on radio around the city, no, I can talk to the whole world now for free. And so I do, and that's why I am now well known around the world for who I am and what I'm talking about. It used to be, when America was founded, it was a very powerful country, and people from all over the world were coming to America. Why? Because America was very strong, very wealthy, very powerful. Why? Because America allowed people to be free. You can come and do anything you want in America and be free.
Yeah.
And you can make a lot of money. You can make money. You can do what you want. You can do whatever you want. And so people came from all over the world to live in America, so they have the freedom to be who they want to be and do what they want to do.
Right.
And now America became so powerful, like the Roman Empire. It became so powerful and so big and so wealthy. It became stupid and fat and dim-witted and corrupt. And now today, we're no longer the great American, the great America. We're not great anymore. We're stupid and ignorant and dim-witted, and we go out to wars and fight wars all the time. We're not smart, and we're not wisdom. We have no wisdom and no knowledge, nothing. Mm-hmm. That's the same way the Roman Empire, under the Caesars of Rome. Like I said, for 2,300 years, Rome has ruled the world. Mm-hmm. For the past 1,600 years, the Vatican in Rome has ruled the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why we say, no matter what the problem is, all roads lead to Rome. The bottom line is, no matter what's happening, no matter who got killed, no matter what happened, It's all the ancient Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
It's still Caesar walking around in his white garment. He's the Holy Father.
Wow.
And he, why is he the Holy Father? Is because he talks to God. So therefore, he's a Godfather. Well, that's what they have in America, the Godfather.
Yeah. Jordan, I'm a big student of Hermetics, the science of Thoth. When we say Thoth, we're saying Hermes. Are we all saying, are we also saying Lucifer, Lux Giver, the Light Bearer, when we say Hermes, Thoth? Is it the same person?
Yeah, that's a very, very old, that's a very old and difficult subject to talk about. Lucifer is very difficult to talk about because most people have been taught that Lucifer is the devil.
Yeah.
When, in point of fact, intellectually, if you go to college or university, you go to the library and read in the encyclopedias, you look up the word Lucifer and it tells you Lucifer is not the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a misunderstanding. That's only ignorant people say that, people who don't know. They say Lucifer represents the devil. Actually, according to the Bible, according to the Old and the New Testament, the New Testament story of Jesus in the Bible.
The new one. Okay.
Jesus says in the New Testament, I am Lucifer.
Okay.
And in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, on the very last page of the last book is book of Revelation, and the last chapter is chapter 22. That's the very last page of the Bible. Jesus said, I am Lucifer. And so the scripture says, Jesus said, I am Lucifer. So therefore, Lucifer is Jesus. That's because he said that, I am Lucifer. And so today, when you hear people talk about Lucifer is the devil and Lucifer is evil, no, Lucifer is Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Yeah. I have come to bring light to the world, enlightening. I'm here to educate the whole world. So Jesus is called the light of the world. What does Lucifer mean? It means the bringer of light.
Light giver.
Lux. The life giver.
Yeah,
so if he's
giver.
Bringing the light, Lucifer is bringing the light. Well, Jesus just said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
The Greek... I am the light of the world.
Okay.
And why? Because Jesus is referred to as God's Son.
Uh-huh.
God's Son. S-U-N, not S-O-N.
Yeah.
God's Son is the light of the world. Of course the Son is the light of the world. What else lights the world but the Son? So he's God's Son, the light of the world.
Yeah. 25th and of so, December is the rebirth of the Son, not Jesus Christ.
That's right. Jesus is nothing more than the Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor. It's just a story. It's just a story.
Yeah.
And it's the story in the New Testament about Jesus. The whole story of Jesus in the New Testament is a story. It's called the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told is in the New Testament, the story of Jesus, the greatest story ever told. Why? Because the greatest story that's ever been told in all of history is a war between darkness and light.
Yeah.
Because at nighttime it's very dark and very cold, and that's when the animals come out, predator animals come out, and they're looking to eat something, including you. And so it's very dark and very evil. That's why all the crime, that's why all the prostitution and crime and drug and criminality happens at nighttime.
Yeah.
In the dark. And that's when you can get killed. You can get in trouble at dark at night. So you need to stay home, stay out of dark. Because when it gets light, when the sun comes up, now you as a human can go out because you can see now what to do and what not to do. But when you're at nighttime, you don't see the robbers and the criminals. So there's been a war from the very beginning of time. It's always been a war between darkness and light. And so the war is between Lucifer, Jesus, the light bringer, which is the sun, and the devil, which is the prince of darkness.
Set.
He's called the prince of darkness. Who was the prince of darkness in Egypt? His name was Set, S-E-T.
Yeah.
Why? Because we say today it gets dark at sunset.
Right.
And so now Jesus is leaving the world. The light of the world is going to die, and he's going to leave the world, and the whole world now is going to be in the hands of the prince of darkness, all the evil. Why? Because the sun's gone, and now it's cold, and it's frightening and scary, and children don't like having to live in the darkness. They're afraid of the dark. And I say, there's a famous saying that I can understand children who are afraid of the dark. I understand.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is that men, grown adults, who are afraid of the light. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I know children are afraid of the dark, but adults are afraid of the light. Children are afraid of the dark, but adults don't want to learn anything. They don't want to see nothing. They don't want the sun to come up and so they can see everything clearly. They don't want to see nothing clearly. They just want to do their drinking, watch their ball games. They don't want to see anything. You want to tell somebody something, educate them. What you're doing is enlightening them. You're telling them something they don't know.
Yeah.
People don't want to hear what they don't know. They don't want to hear it. They want to live in the dark. They like living in the dark, being stupid and ignorant. They don't want to hear anything in the light. They don't want to know the truth.
Which is essentially a psychological defensive mechanism, like a subconscious defensive mechanism caused by trauma.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why you take the word evil, E-V-I-L, evil, and put a D in front of it, becomes devil.
Yes.
Devil is evil.
God is good.
And you take an O out of good, it becomes God.
Right.
God is good, devil is evil.
Right.
Just words.
Right.
Same story for thousands of years. The war between darkness at night and the sun in the daytime. The sun is the light of the world. And that's the whole problem of the human race, is that war between stupidity, ignorance, criminality, stupidity, and spiritual and intellectual enlightenment.
Yeah.
So the war between light and darkness. I just want to try and help to wake up young people to the very basic understanding of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to wake people up, to tell them, wake up. There is no such a thing as divine right to rule.
Yeah.
You don't have a divine right. This is for your divine right. You don't have no divine right. I don't accept your divine right.
Yeah.
Divine means you're God. God said you could leave. What God?
Yeah.
What God said, you could rule me. Mm-hmm. I am talking to my God. He didn't say anything about you being able to rule me. My God rules me. Well, what is your God? I don't know. There's spirit out there in the universe. I'm free, just like the stars are free.
Yeah. This is unbelievable.
Many years ago, there was a very famous movie made in America. It was called Born Free. It was a very big movie called Born Free. It was about a baby lion that grew up to be a big lion. And he grew up in a household with humans. This little baby lion, the people who found this little baby lion, they brought him in and fed him and took care of him. And so the lion was in a family of humans. He felt he was human. He was living with humans all his life. And so he was born free as an animal. He didn't have any government over him. He just does what he does. He's born free to be who he is. He's a lion, so he does what lions do. And so I thought that was interesting that the lion was referred to as being born free. But you're not born free. We own you. You're not born free. The lion is born free, but not you. Now, because you're a human, yeah, we own you. The lion, we can't do that to. The lion, you can't tell them to do this and do that and do this and do that. You can't tell a lion to do anything. They'll eat you up. They'll just eat you. They'll attack you. So you
Victor,
can't tell. Yeah, the lions, you can't tell anything because they're not understanding you, and they don't hear you, and they don't care what you're saying. They're going to do what they want to do. So they're born free. Well, if they're born free, how come I'm not born free?
Viktor Frankl saw that it's all about our perception, how we perceive things. So we are free, our soul is free. We cannot be
Yeah.
imprisoned in any way as long as we like change our perception.
You're right. And you know, when we say that kings have a divine right, a divine means godly. Why? Because Jesus at the Last Supper, he's giving the bread and the wine to his disciples and say, "Eat, this is my flesh, and drink, this is my blood." And that's why in the churches, in Catholic Church, and in most churches, they always have the bread and the wine, and they have the priest drinking the wine. Why? Because where does the wine represents the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. So the blood is red. So when you're drinking the cup in the Catholic Church, you're drinking the wine. What's wine made out of? It's made out of grapes. Well, where do you get grapes from? You get it from divine. Grapes grow on divine. Right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, grapes
Right.
grow on divine. That's where we get the word divine,
Okay.
because
Well,
it represents the blood of Christ.
we'll try to enlighten as much as we can. I'll be translating so much of this work to Arabic as fast and as much as I can.
I know. You're very fortunate. You're very fortunate to be aware and smart and alert at your age, being a young man. Usually, you have to get to be 80 years old before you begin to start suspecting something's wrong with this world. You know, at 80 and 90 years old, you begin to see things now you didn't see before. But you're seeing it now at an early age. So that's good. At least you're waking up early. You don't have to go through the whole of your life and then start waking up and finding out how stupid everything is. You're seeing it now. So now you can educate yourself. You can now change your life. You can start educating yourself and changing the way you are being manipulated. You know, do your own thinking, do your own reading. Don't buy into government. No government, no religion, none of that. I do my own thinking. I think for myself. I mean, I've been to Egypt three times. I spoke in Egypt three separate times. I went to the pyramids. I actually was in the Great Pyramid of Giza, and I was blessed by a Kemite priest. I had a priest do a blessing on me in the Egyptian pyramid. And I've been to the Middle East. I've been to Egypt. I've been to the island of Malta off the coast of Italy. I've been all over Europe. I've been through the on the island of Malta. I went there and did a lecture and seminar. I've traveled around the world doing seminars, trying to wake people up to the fact that you need to wake up and do your own thinking. Learn how to read, learn how to think. And I have so many people writing me and saying, Jordan, where do I start? And I'm thinking, you know what? Don't even start. If you're so ignorant that you don't know how to read and you don't know how to think, don't even bother to start. Go back and watch football on TV. Go back and watch soccer. Don't even try to wake up. You don't ask me how am I supposed to think. Use your head and think for yourself. Start doing the reading. Go out and read. I'll tell you how I started getting into this. When I was young, as a teenager, I would get a really interesting book on conspiracies in government, a criminal, whatever it was, a book to be a reference book. I don't read junk, I read only reference books. When you get a reference book, in the back of the book is something called a bibliography. Bibliography in the back of a reference book will give you all the books that the author of that book used to write his book. So I go back in the back and I see what books he read. And so I get those books. I go get those books. Now I'm reading the same thing he read, and now I'm seeing what he's talking about. But on each one of those books has a bibliography.
That's so
So
funny.
just, yeah. So then when you
That's
get.
exactly what happens to me.
Yeah.
Every good book would give you a huge list of other books,
Right.
and one leads you to
Then it
the
gives
other.
you a whole list of other books. You go back and so whatever particular subject you're interested in, you get a book on that subject, and there is the back of the book of the bibliography where
Correct.
the author of that book got his information. Now you get those books, you order those books, and now by in the back end of those books are more books that other authors use. And after a while, you start collecting books and start thinking and talking to people. And doing radio and talking to important people makes, the idea is that's what I did. I try and talk to important people, and I've been able to do that. I have a lot of important people I talked to over the years. I've talked to governors, astronauts, military, clergy, Jesuit researchers, Jewish rabbis. I've talked to tons of people, all kinds of people from all over the world. And I ask them questions. The more I'm talking to people around the world, the more I'm learning. I already know how to think. Now I'm asking questions. And when I ask the right questions to the right people, they give you answers. And I think, oh, that's good. I didn't know that. Now I go back and start doing research on that, and then I call them back. And now I'm asking more questions. I'm learning more and more. I've been doing that all my life, asking questions of important people. And there are two people that you need to know about. That's on the web. You go on the web to YouTube, okay? YouTube. The most important person on the YouTube today that's really important is named Joseph Farrell, Farrell. Joseph Farrell. Write that down. And remember it, Joseph Farrell. If you can write that down so you don't forget it. Joseph Joseph Farrell, Farrell.
Yeah.
Go on the web to YouTube and type in Joseph Farrell and just listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
He will knock you out with brilliant, incredible knowledge about stuff you've never heard before, about governments, pyramids, extraterrestrial life, wars, I mean, all kinds of interesting subjects. This guy is very highly educated.
Wow.
And he doesn't mind telling the truth. He says that all education is bullshit. There is no education. There is no education. It's all a bunch of lies and bullshit. The real story you don't know. And he tells you how the world really works. And I'm telling you, he's very important. Oh, you'll spend hours listening to him.
I do.
Yeah, and another guy you need to hear, in particular because of where you are,
mm-hmm.
his name is Peter, P-E-T-E-R, P-E-T-E-R, Peter Lavenda.
Okay.
That's L-A-V-E-N-D-A. L-E-V-E-N-D-A, Lavenda.
Yeah.
Peter Lavenda is brilliant man, incredibly smart.
Two of my favorite people as well are Santos Bonacci. I'm so much into his materials.
Yeah.
And there's Bill Donahue is also one of my favorites.
Santos Bonacci is a good friend of mine. I've known him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He and I are very good friends. And I really like Santos Bonacci. He's very, very smart. And David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of David Icke?
Of course, yeah.
I brought David Icke to America back in 1992. I did. I brought him to America.
Mm-hmm.
And I got him to speak in conferences. I got him on radio. I put him on television. I promoted him. I give him money. I financed him to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
And now he becomes famous. So I'm the one that made David Icke, David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
And because when I met him, he was nobody in England. But I liked him, so I brought him to America.
Yeah.
And I promoted him. I got his books published for him. And I got him on radio. I got him on the radio shows and seminars and lectures.
He's done a lot of good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I made him famous. A lot of people don't know that I was a partner, business partner with David Icke. I'm the one that promoted him.
Yeah.
And Zachariah Sitchin, you heard of Zachariah?
Of course. I read his
Zachariah
books.
Sitchin was my business partner. I was in business with him. I was his business partner.
Yeah.
I sent him around the world to different countries. I got his books published. I was his business partner for many years,
wow.
Zachariah Sitchin. When we traveled together, we travel around all of his lectures. I get him to speak at conferences, and then I could go with him. And when we were traveling together, we could sit and talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Or go do his research.
Oh.
And because of that, he and I would talk in private about a lot in his personal company. And I know things about him other people don't know.
That's a whole different topic. The problem is his story and interpretation of the Sumerian mythology and Enki and Enlil and the genetic manipulation of human beings, it does make a lot of sense, and actually makes the Old Testament make sense, if you think about it this way.
Yep, I was his partner, business partner. I was also helping so many people. I financed so many people to write books and do get them on radio and television, like Richard Hoagland, and I don't know. I've got so many people that I've been working with over the years. I know them personally, so they told me stuff that nobody else knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I go out on radio and I talk about certain people and their research and what they've done, and people think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I was a business partner. I know him. Right?
Yeah.
And so I could tell you a lot of things about a lot of people.
I would be so honored anytime, Jordan. Please, to go in depth.
I could tell you that Zachariah Sitchin. There's more to Zachariah Sitchin than meets the eye. There's a lot more about Zachariah Sitchin that nobody knows. I was there. I know. If you heard the real story behind Zachariah Sitchin, he is a very interesting man. Has done a lot of strange and interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know how much I can say in public on radio about another man.
I'm sensing
I don't
that.
Want too much. Because if you're going to play this in the Middle East, Zachariah Sitchin is very well known in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, his books about the ancient peoples and the ancient Anunnaki and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked with him in private about that. He's told me many things about Anunnaki and the last days we're living in and all of his books. He's told me a lot of things that I don't wish to talk about in public.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you. But what I will tell you is that Zachariah Sitchin is a very, very important man who had first-hand knowledge of what he was talking about. He wasn't just reading. He doesn't just read the ancient writings and talk about the ancient writing. He knew exactly what was going on. Because
wow.
He had first-hand knowledge. That's all I can tell you. He had first-hand knowledge about the ancient scriptures that he was talking about. I mean, he was from the Middle East, and he knew the culture of the people. And he knows exactly what was going on. Just as there are many people in the Middle East that do know what the ancient history of the people really are, really is. And it's not what you think it is. And Zachariah Sitchin was one who actually knew. He knew about the history of the ancient history of the people of the Middle East. And he knew because it was first-hand knowledge. he had inside knowledge.
Even his book, The End of Days, when I read it, it astounded me because of the similarities with our mythology and the Book of Revelations. There's so many details, so many similarities. Yeah.
There's a big, big story today. Yeah. A very, very big story today about the earth and its real history. A real history of the earth. Most people on this earth have never heard the real story of the real history of the earth. How many people know that the pyramid, one of the biggest pyramids, is on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean? Are you aware that there's a pyramid in the ocean of the Atlantic Ocean? On the floor of the pyramid, the pyramid's on the floor of the ocean. It's 10 miles north of the island of Bimini. Bimini is one of the big islands in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And from Caribbean island of Bimini, you go 10 miles north, and it's out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, is a huge pyramid. And the pyramid has a big eye at the top. And sitting on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean, and it's actually generating power because the military went out there and they popped open these canisters of powder, and as soon as the powder hits the water, it colors the water, and when it colors the water, now you can see with your own eyes the currents. You can see the currency. You can see where the current is going. And so when they broke open the powder near the pyramid that's on the ocean floor in the Atlantic, when they broke it open, it colored all the water. And you could see the water was being sucked into the eye of the pyramid. It was all going into the eye of the pyramid. And then a few minutes later, they saw it coming out the bottom. So something inside was sucking the water in and sucking it in and then blowing it out on the bottom. That means something is operating inside that pyramid right now.
Yeah.
It's been sent out in the ocean. It's been sent out in the Atlantic Ocean. And I believe that that's one of the main reasons why something's going on in the Atlantic Ocean that's causing hurricanes and terrible storms, mm-hmm. and the Bermuda Triangle, mm-hmm. and all kinds of strange things going on in the ocean of the Atlantic Ocean. Incredible stuff. That space shuttle, when the space shuttle first went up, they had special cameras on the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And those cameras were designed to photograph the Earth and see where the mineral deposits were, see where the gold is, where the silver, where the oil, where the different mineral deposits were on the Earth. That's one of the things they wanted to know.
Yeah.
Where to go for the raw material.
Yeah.
Well, the space shuttle had a camera that takes pictures, like an X-ray picture of the Earth. It will tell you, because you'll see the different colors. The different colors represents different minerals.
Yeah.
And so they realized back a long time ago in the first space shuttles that there were all kinds of minerals in the ocean, all kinds of deposits, mineral deposits. And they took pictures of the ocean for military. The military wanted to know, industrial, and the big industrial oil companies, etc. They wanted to know what's out there in the ocean. And so they took pictures of the Earth, and they said, the article was in Time magazine many years ago when the first space shuttle went up. They said on that first space shuttle, they took up what they call an industrial laser.
Mm-hmm.
The article I still have. I had the article that said, the first space shuttle took up with it an industrial laser, the most powerful laser man has ever built. It was huge, a big laser machine. And they said that it gets direct energy from the sun into the battery or whatever, however it works, and that it can then turn that laser on and aim it at the Earth, and they can melt a high-rise. That's what it said. This laser is so strong, it gets direct light from the sun while the space shuttle's out there. It gets direct light from the sun, and it's so powerful that the laser can be shot down to the Earth, and if it hits a high-rise, it will melt a high-rise. It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Melt a high-rise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happened in New York. High-rises, the two high-rises in New York, World Trade Center, melted. And now you look at what happened in New York. New York is the Empire State, the Roman Empire. The state of the Roman Empire is called the Empire State. And in New York, they have an Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that what happened in New York was high, high intelligent technology. Somebody did what happened in New York. It's technologically impossible. How do you get two of the highest buildings in the world to just sink into dust? They just went blue. That was it. They're gone. How do you do that? Well, I don't know. The article said back in 1960 or 61 when they did the first space shuttle, they said that it's carrying a laser, an industrial-sized laser that can melt a high-rise. That's what the article said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happened in New York. They're melting high-rises. So I think what went on in New York is just technology that we don't even know about. They told you a little bit in the Time magazine, a little bit, that they got a space shuttle took up a laser that would melt a high rise. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. Well, what most people do not know about 9/11 and the collapse of the World Trade Center, when it collapsed, normally it's over 100, I think it was 105 stories high. It's over 100 stories high building. Anything that's over 100 stories high, with all that concrete and desk and chairs and files and bathrooms and toilets and everything else, if that's going to come crashing down, you would think there would be at least 20 stories of junk, of trash that would, it falls down. It would fall down until all 100 stories are crushed into 20 stories of junk. Yeah. And trash and toilets and chairs and desks and all kinds of computers, all kinds of stuff. But it wasn't. When the high rises came down, they came all the way down to the ground. And if you go out there to the ground zero, you can wipe it up. It was just dust. They just had tons and tons of dust, dirt and dust. Wow. Where did the chairs and desks and all the bathroom fixtures and the lights and all the stuff that built into the high rise, where did it go? It's gone. It's just dust. That's all it was, just dust. Like after a fire. Yeah, after a fire, that's just dust. That's it. Well, what is it that can melt a high rise into dust? Some kind of high rise, some kind of high technology melted the high rises in New York into dust. And what's really interesting is there's a doctor, a lady doctor, who did some research on 9/11, which shocked me. It was incredible what she found. She's got pictures on her website of cars, automobiles that are half a mile away, 4 or 5 blocks away. The cars are melted. They melted the cars. The cars were melted. And it was amazing. And the tires on all the cars half a mile away were all melted rubber. The cars themselves were melted. They melted. Wow. What is it that's strong enough to knock down two high rises that just fall into dust and melts automobiles a mile away? Whatever it was, it must have been a terrible, powerful, some kind of high technology, atomic technology that melts metal. Mm-hmm. If you got a car and you go out to your car 2-3 blocks away and the car is melted, like it caught on fire and it just melted the car, that's 3 blocks away. That's 5 blocks away from the World Trade Center. The cars are melted. What are you talking about? Into dust. But so did the cars half a mile away. They all melted. Man, that must have been some kind of technology.
I think it's more like atomizing than melting. You can atomize anything with the correct frequency. So it's probably they were targeting specific materials with frequencies. That's what I would say.
If you go on the web to Dr. Wood, there's a lady doctor. Her last name is Woods, W-O-O-D-S, Dr. Woods.
Okay.
I forget her first name. Dr. Woods, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called 9/11. Just type in 9/11 pictures, or 9/11 Dr. Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a doctor, and she's done research incredible about all the cars and all the trash cans and anything metal within a mile all melted when the high-rise came down. I can understand the high-rises coming down if it shot it with a high laser that can melt a high-rise.
Yeah.
But how does that cause cars 5 blocks away to melt?
Mm-hmm.
And on rubber tires, on all the cars from a mile around, rubber tires all melted into... It just melted on the street. Somebody better do some homework and find out what's going on the Atlantic Ocean. and all of the great temples, which are in the ocean off the coast of Japan, big, enormous temples in the oceans,
yeah,
off the coast of Cuba, just north of Cuba, in the ocean, is huge, enormous temples. And you can, and there's pictures of them on the web, the temple. The divers have gone down.
Yeah.
Government divers have gone down, take pictures of the enormous temples. All underwater, pyramids underwater, off the coast of Japan in the Pacific, huge, yeah, enormous temples underwater.
I think Jordan Graham Hancock did a lot of work about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wonder, what are you talking about, temples underwater?
Yeah.
Who builds temples under the water? It implies, the implication is, they were not built underwater. At one time they were on land, and something happened and the land dropped and the water came in.
Yeah.
And thousands of years later, we today going out for a swim, we go out and we see temples underwater.
Right.
How'd they get there? Well, they didn't just get there, they were up here 10,000, 12,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 100,000 years ago, the temples were up here. Well, who built temples 100,000 years ago?
Yeah. A very long time ago, I studied the work of James Churchward about the civilization of Mu in the Pacific. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, about the lost continent of Mu,
right.
M-U, Atlantis. You know, today, great countries like England and America, they have huge military, big military, and their military is all over the world. America's military is in all over the world, all kinds of countries. We have Americans in the Middle East, we have Americans in Africa, in Russia, we have Americans in China. American military is everywhere.
Yeah.
The biggest military establishments on the earth is everywhere. Now, suppose something were to happen that could destroy the United States of America off the map. What would happen if the United States of America was instantly and one day just wiped off? If the whole side of the earth collapsed and America collapsed in and everybody was killed instantly? All over the rest of the world, there would be Americans, but mm-hmm. there's nobody to come home to. There is no home. America's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living in Germany, you're living in Europe, you're living in Asia, you're living in the Middle East, you're living here and there. Well, yeah, well, you might as well just stay there and do the best you can, because they're not going home. There ain't no home. It just went underwater,
yeah,
like Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like Atlantis. So I'm saying that there was a place in actual history called Atlantis. And when Atlantis collapsed, it had its armies all over the world. And so when it collapsed, the Atlanteans couldn't go back to their home because there ain't no home. It went underwater instantly. So if it went underwater instantly, then all the Atlanteans who were part of the Atlantis race of people. They were very smart. They were very highly intelligent. They knew all about nuclear power and high technology, but they're all over the world. So today we have Atlanteans who are the brains behind the Chinese government, the Russian government, all these major governments around the world are all the Atlanteans, because they were a superior race. They were superior to the normal humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are the people who are leading the world today,
yeah,
the Atlanteans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on Jordan Maxwell's show and you will see Jordan Maxwell Research website. Click on that, you can join my research website, and I got everything on there, all my research.
Yeah. I'll be promoting this, Jordan. Of course, I'm already there, needless to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good that you are able to be young and still aware and alert enough to know what's going on and you be in the company of the right people.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a treasure. Yeah, needless to say. I'm very lucky for it.
It's important to be in the company of the right people. If you enjoy being dimwit and stupid, then hang around with the crowd. Because the crowd don't know nothing. They don't read nothing. They don't care about nothing. You want to be smart? Yeah, hang around intelligent people. Talk only to intelligent, well-informed people who know, who are educated, who know what's going on the earth. Yeah. There's very few of them, because most scientists are not scientists. They're not scientists at all. They're just religionists. They go to church. They have their churches called, their university or their churches, their religion.
Correct. Correct.
So I just think it's good that you are young enough to appreciate the wisdom and knowledge and start reading and studying things on your own.
Yeah.
Because the government's never going to tell you the real truth about what the earth really is.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for your time. I'm so honored to be speaking to you. Anytime you'd like to share a topic or talk about something, I'm always honored to speak to you again.
Well, you let me know when you want to do a show. We'll do another. You can always do shows anytime you want. So I'll just leave it up to you. You decide when you want to do a show and let me know.
I'm so honored. I'm so honored for that.
Yeah.
So I'll be suggesting topics and you tell me whatever appeals to you. And yeah, anytime.
Well, let me know when you want to do a show and we'll do it. And thank you for your time.
It's beautiful.
And I guess I'll say goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you so much again for your time, Jordan. Thank you so much. I'm so honored.
Quite all right. Quite all right. I love talking with you.